Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands. We ask that your will be done with them. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, this congregation has lost three people who were dear to us. And we have been united together in the hope that Scripture and our faith offer us as our brothers and sisters left this realm to go on to the next. Their deaths afford us a brief moment of lucidity, a reset of our perspective from the temporal to the eternal, a focusing of our hearts and minds on the reality of our everlasting existence. Scripture tells us what we need to know to have hope, both for them and for us. It tells us where they are now, who they're with, and what they're doing, and what they have now become. The truth of God's word sets us free from despair and grief and fear, and the grave has no victory over us, and death has lost its sting. What once was an end has now become a beginning through God's amazing love and grace. But this morning, we participate in a sacrament that celebrates the opposite end of that spectrum, the baptism of three infants. While funerals celebrate the end of the journey, infant baptisms celebrate the beginning of that journey. And for both the end and the beginning, the hope we rest in is exactly the same, God's grace and God's love. The race that Hertha, Alberta, and Tom have finished, Landon, Deborah, and Matthew are just beginning. And we all know how tough this race is. We've all had to endure its challenges and its trials. We know full well that no one finishes this course without obtaining some scars along the way. Wounds inflicted by creation, by others, by self, or even by the hand of God are part of this journey. These physical, emotional, and psychological wounds are not the purpose of this life, but they are a means to an end, spiritual fulfillment in the will of God. We all have to walk the path of Job. It's what we're here to do. It's a path of trials and a path of challenges. It's a path that leads to only one place, to glory. We begin with many vexing questions about ourselves and others, and we end this journey with one singular conclusion about God. He is Lord, which means I am not, and that is the true lesson of life. This morning, these three children have taken their first steps on this journey, and we having had the privilege of bearing witness to it, and we promise to be there for them during their journey in any way we can. It can be a challenge to stand with one you love at the starting line and look out over the course that you know they must run and not feel some muted sense of foreboding or angst for what you know they must endure. I can remember almost 30 years ago when Cheryl and I were first seriously considering having children. The harsh realities of this world gave me pause to wonder if it was prudent to bring life into this fallen world. And of course, I also wondered if I was qualified to do so. I saw the despair of this world as being more powerful than the hope of God. At the time, I didn't have a full grasp on God's purpose for each life. I couldn't understand why He commanded us to be fruitful and multiply into this world. And I found myself steeped in Solomon's inevitable conclusion, all is vanity. What hope would there be for my child? They will be born, they will struggle throughout their short lives, they will die, and they will eventually be forgotten. Thanks, Pastor Sunshine. God reminded me through His word that He has overcome this world, and there is nothing that we have broken that He cannot fix and then use, and that our ways are not His ways, and that His ways will overwhelm ours. All of the despair that we have created is swallowed up by a singular hope that God has provided. Not a hope to help us live, but rather a living hope. 1 Peter 1:3-9 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, and undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as an outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Life is hard, but life is worth it. The grace and mercy of God, as expressed to us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has caused us to be born again into a living hope. A hope that will never die or fade. One that defies circumstances and situations. He caused us to have hope when we once had none. Without the hope that Christ bought for these three children, and all the children this church has ever baptized, they are left with nothing to hope for but to eat, drink, and be merry. Eternal hope that we will receive the inheritance that God has created us to have. Hope that doesn't fade away as life reaches its inevitable conclusion, but rather a hope that is fulfilled by it. As all other hope fades away, and they surely will, this one singular hope grows brighter and brighter as all the temporal hopes fade into the realities of a fallen world separated from God. A living and eternal hope came out of the tomb on Easter morning, so that these three can have life and have it abundantly. We proclaim that hope for these three this morning, as Solomon did for his own child in Proverbs 23:18-19, where he wrote, "Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way." This morning we promise to tell and to show these children that way. We pledge to assist their parents with their sacred duty to raise up these children in the way they should go, so that they could have a future and a hope that will never end. So when their journey brings them to that lonesome valley, the place they will have to walk by themselves, they will know what Solomon's father had taught him. Psalm 62:5-7. "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. My God, my salvation, my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God." As we baptize these three children this morning, we all, including myself, have temporal hopes for them. We hope that they will be healthy, that they will be responsible, that they will respect and be respected, that what their hands find to do will grant them both fulfillment and abundance. We hope that they will find another who is kind, wise, and loving to share their journey with. We hope that they do not encounter the cruel depravity of man, the boundless, dispassionate power of nature, or the sting of capriciousness of chance being in the wrong place at the wrong time. We hope when we pray for these temporal things, and there is no wrong in our hope and our prayers, but we know that even if all of these temporal hopes for them are realized, and all of our prayers for them are answered, if the eternal is not addressed, all this hope has been in vain, and our prayers were answered for nothing. For what does it profit a man or a child if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? If you get it all here, all your hopes are realized, and you lose it all there, is this not the vanity of vanities? This is why we do what we did here this morning. This is why we bring these children before the Lord and before you, their older brothers and sisters in Christ, to acknowledge and to lay claim to the grace of God that was enacted on their behalf ages before these three were born. We do this to proclaim the living hope from God that Jesus Christ was delivered for them and to them, an eternal hope so powerful that it dominates all circumstances, a hope that transcends our temporal hopes and quiets our eternal fears, a hope that will be unaffected by whatever this life brings them, no matter what their health, no matter what their wealth, no matter who they marry or who they bury, no matter where they work, who values them, or what life brings them. No matter what the cold heart of men or the uncaring hand of nature makes them face, they will always have this living hope. When they face the harshest of challenges of this life, even when they come face to face with the toughest challenges their own nature, this hope will not abandon them, ever. Because this hope is not built on them or us, this hope is living. It never dies, because it was built on the grace of God as expressed through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And it is on this solid rock upon which these children can stand every day of their lives, no matter what comes their way. A hope that is fully realized when this life ends and the eternal begins. A hope not just for living forever, but a hope for obtaining what God has destined them for since the beginning of time. As Paul was journeying from Jerusalem for Passover, he sent a final message of this hope to the churches in Asia. And this is what he wrote them. Acts 20:32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What we've done here this morning for these three precious lives is commend them to God in his grace. It is revealed in his word. We've stated that it is our hope for them, that we have proclaimed it for them until they can proclaim it for themselves. Our living hope for them is that the word of grace will do two things. First, it will build them up now, make them everything they can be in this world, a visible reflection of the living God, a light that God set on a hill for others to see and find their way to him. Second, the word of grace will provide them the eternal inheritance of the sanctified. I cannot tell you what life will bring these three children. I cannot tell you which of our temporal hopes these three will be realized and which will be not. As I've stated, none of us leaves here unscathed. We all bear the scars from our journey away from God. I can also tell you this, that those wounds have purpose. They are part of the sanctification that enables us to obtain our inheritance. And so it will be for these three we baptize here today. They will earn what they learn. And in recognition of this morning, we have sworn a sacred oath before God to be there for them as God uses this life to sanctify them for the next. Because we know how hard this journey is, but we also know how glorious it is. We have a living hope that will be theirs forever. In their journey back to God, they're going to need us. Today, we promise to be there for them when they do. At some point, we're going to have the privilege of showing them in Scripture that they are indeed heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, as Romans 8 proclaims. And then we will have the joyful honor of telling them what Hebrews 1:2 tells us, that Christ has been appointed heir to all things. Christ is heir to all things, and we are joint heirs with Christ. If this is so, then Matthew, Deborah, and Landon sit here among us as heirs to everything that God has ever created. That's who they are. They surely have been blessed by God to be called the children of Mike and Christine and Jeremy and Katie, but it is their eternal destiny for them to be called the sons of God. By the grace of God, these three children are destined to eternally have all things along with Christ. And through the power of the Word and Spirit, they will be sanctified by the events of this temporal life so that no thing will ever have them again. The struggle for our souls ends here. This is why they're here now. This is what they will have then. This is our hope for them, no matter what storms of life rage around them. What lays here in their mother's arms are nothing less than the princes of God, each a powerful warrior, each destined, as Scripture says, to judge the angels. They are more than conquerors. They are overcomers in this life and in the next. They will overcome this world. They will not be overcome by it, because Jesus Christ overcame it first for them, and they are heirs to all things that are his, even his victories. 1 John 5:4-5 says this, "For whatever is born of God overcomes this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Yes, they will face trials. They will walk through the wilderness that sits between this world and the promised land. They will enter into the furnace of Egypt and come out purified, ready to be used by God. And the hope of God will never leave them or abandon them, because they will know what you have taught them, that all these things refine and sanctify us. They will know to count them as joy when they encounter them. More than this, Their witness to this world will one day be the living hope that is displayed in the midst of despair, so that the world may find the peace and the hope of God also. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that was within you. Be ready to explain it, yet with gentleness and reverence." Surely these children will come to walk in the living hope that the grace of God has provided them. And one day that hope will cause the lost to ask them where that hope comes from. And they will be ready to give an account for the hope that is in them, because they have you to help them. Now, I may not see it. I may not be here when it happens, but I know it will. This is my hope for them. This is my hope for mankind. Brothers and sisters, it is easy to learn that we are not God, but it's very hard to stop wanting to be. Today, we acknowledge that this is a hard journey towards wisdom begins with these three children here today. And we acknowledge that it continues for everyone sitting next to you, and that it has been completed for those we have lost. Hope for the entire journey, the beginning, the middle, and the end, and most importantly, hope for after the journey is done. Living hope for those who are destined to live forever. Amen.